If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The section we'll be reading this morning is verses 3 through 6. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. May we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, may you give us understanding this morning as we look into thy word. May you speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit with the word to help us to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. And we thank you for your written revelation that we might study and meditate therein to encourage us, build us up in the faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do give thanks and ask his blessing by the Holy Spirit upon our service this morning. Amen. Amen. This section here, I studied just about all day yesterday upon this text, is a very searching part of Scripture. We sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Now, it's easy to sing that, but these verses here will explain to you, do you really love Jesus? And there's a way of knowing whether we love Jesus or not. And hereby we know, the word there is genosko, which means to know by experience. That we know, genosko, him. We know the Lord Jesus Christ by experience. We've been born of the Spirit of God, and we've come to faith, repentance, and faith in Jesus Christ in our experience. And we have fellowship with the Lord in the church assembly and in the things of God and in the reading the Scripture and in prayer. We come to know the Lord even better and more in our experience. Here is the next part. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, where is the word of God perfected? It's perfected into them who are keeping his word. Keeping his word. That we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now that is some, John didn't beat around the bush. He told it like it was. Plain, simple, to the mark. He wasn't trying to deceive anyone. He wasn't trying to trick anyone. He told it like it is. You say you love the Lord, are you keeping his commandments? So our love has to do with our obedience, as we're going to see as we get into this. Some of the things that we think about this, how can I be assured that Christ is all this to me? Is Christ all of this to you as a believer? By keeping his commandments, verse 3 through 5:8. Walking as he walked. Now, that should be the prize of the mark of the pride of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's that point we're all pressing forward to do. To be more like Jesus, to be conformed to his image. That's what's going on in our process. We're being daily conformed to the image of Christ, to be like him. We get to know him and to know that we know him by practice of his precepts. In other words, by being obedient to the word of God is an evidence that we know him, Brother Dave. If we don't obey him, how do we know him? The word to know is genosko, to know by experience, contrast with the word one, absolute immediate knowledge of a fact once and for all. There's some things you know once and for all. You know that this is the word of God. You know that because it's a fact. We know that we've been born again by the evidences that we experience in our life. That's the word ginosko. As we look at the scripture, he says, and hereby we know, we do know. In this points to what follows if we keep his commandments and before concerning fellowship and walking in the light. Remember before we talked about walking in fellowship with the Lord and walking in the light. It's all fitting together like a puzzle. But he's coming down now to where it really zeroes in. What makes this important is our obedience to Christ. It's not how loud we sing. As one person said, it's not how loud you shout or how high you jump, but it's how you walk when your feet hit the ground. That's what determines how much we love the Lord. Our obedience, as we're going to see as we go through this. Fellowship and walking in the light. The word we know him is in the perfect tense. It's in a past completed act having present results. It means in the past we had an experience that we knew him, and in the present we're knowing him by our keeping his commandments. How do I know I know him? Because I'm keeping his commandments. That's the experience that God gives us. That's one of the things we're going to see as we keep studying this. It's important. It's important that we realize our obligation as believers in keeping his commandments. Because it's engaged to show, do we love the Lord? The word keep is to attend, to carefully, to attend to carefully, to guard, to observe, to watch like a guard. And some precious thing speaks of continuous action. We should be continually keeping the Word of God, continuously. This isn't something you do on Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we do as we please. No, this should be the attitude and walk of a Christian's everyday life, is to keep the commandments of God, to be obedient to the Lord. Now, I know in our own strength we cannot do this, but I can do all things through Christ who infuses strength into me. You must keep those things constant before your mind. In myself, I'm nothing, but in Christ I have all things, Brother Dave. Some people say, well, I can't live the Christian life. Yes, you can, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and by being obedient to his word. As believers, we have to admit one thing, that when we were baptized, what did we profess? We professed that we died with Christ and we would go under the water. When we come out of the water, we're confessing that we were risen with Christ. For what purpose? To walk in newness of life. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit is to walk according to God's Word. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't read the Word of God. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't obey the commandments of God. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless you read the Word of God. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you're not obeying the Word of God. It goes together. God's Word, the Spirit uses his Word, whom he inspired, to be our strength, encourager, empower us, and keep us from the evil of this world. This is the way, walk you in it. Now, we get in trouble when we don't walk according to God's Word. And we all have this battle. We're living in a hostile world. We're living in a world of Satan is in control, in this wicked world. When Jesus says, when God says, love not this world, he's talking about the wicked system of this world, of ungodliness and worldliness and wickedness. We're not the love of that world. Christ says, you're in the world, but not of the world, talking about his people. But the temptation that you and I face every day is the world is trying to draw us into that web of evil and sinfulness and that wickedness that's dominating the world today. And it's everywhere. Jesus said in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. Look around us today. We see many whose love for Christ has waxed cold. They no longer want to come to the house of God. They no longer read the Word of God. They no longer pray. And if they do, it may be once a month, once a year. If you love the Lord, it's an everyday affair. This is not something you do once a week. This is something you do every moment of your life. Are we guarding and keeping the commandments of God? Are they precious to you? His commandments are not grievous, says James. They're not grievous to the child of God. I want to obey the Lord. I want to be obedient. David said, oh, I love thy law. He loved the law of God. And as we look at this, we'll see more and more in our own lives. The only way to have experimental knowledge of Christ is to keep His commandments. And I'm going to say that again. The only way to have experimental knowledge, experience with Christ, knowledge of Christ, is keeping His commandments. Now, we're talking about His precepts, what Christ taught on the earth in the Beatitudes and His teaching, and what He inspired the apostles to write in their precepts and teaching and things they wrote in commands. We are to obey those commands, and by obeying those commands, we experience God's blessing in our life. You can't go wrong by obeying God, and you'll never get ahead by disobeying God. One thing I've learned from my own experience, you can't fight against God and win. There's no winning. You want a miserable life? You walk the path of disobedience. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, I can say that by experience. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm pointing it right here to me. I know by my own life. And if you experience life very long, you know what I'm talking about. It is. You cannot fight against God and win. Not I can't and you can't. None of us can. God's ultimate power controls things, and He knows how to bring us down to the dust. When He got through with Noah, not Noah, but the one was in the whale's belly. Yeah, he said, Lord, save me or I perish. He didn't have nowhere to go except to the Lord. God will bring you and I to that same position where we cry to the Lord. I've been brought there. I know by experience what it means when the hand of the Lord is upon you. And when God speaks to your soul, you'll know it. You'll know it. The word commandment here is those given by our Lord and through His apostles. As I said before, the Lord's teaching in John's gospel. Now, John and the Lord were close. Notice the teachings of Christ in John chapter 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, go to church. That's true. Go to congregation. Go to the assembly. That's true. Because that's keeping one of His commandments. If you love me, love one another. That's true. Because we were commanded to love one another. But the condition here, if you really love me, you will be keeping His word. In verse 21 of chapter 14, He says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. We need to try our love and ask ourselves the question, if I'm being disobedient to the Lord, I don't love Him. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. And that's a strong language. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So one of the blessings of loving the Lord and be obedient is God said, I'll manifest, we're going to manifest ourselves to you as a believer, the Father and myself. We will make ourselves known to you. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, notice this, if a man love me, truly loves me, what? He will keep my words. So if we are not keeping his words, we don't love him. No matter how we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." See, John comes right down to the simple point. Black and white. You either love the Lord or you don't. How can you test? Do you love the Lord? Are we keeping his commandments? Now this applies to me, to Roger, to Brother Dave, as much to anyone else in this congregation. It's true of all of us. No exceptions. If we love the Lord, as we say we love the Lord, we will be in the process habitually keeping his words and his commandments. No exception. No one gets off and sits in the corner with a dumb hat on. No, we all are obligated to obey the Lord. Every one of us. No exemptions. And in John 7:17, he says, if a man would do his will, that's obeying his word, keeping his commandments, he should know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How do we know the word of God and the teachings of God? By doing the will of God. And how do you do the will of God? By obeying his word. God reveals the truth to us. And in verse 4, he saith, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is the liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that's a very strong verse. Now it applies to all of us, if we fit that category. If I say I know him, by experience, that I'm experiencing the blessings of the Lord, but I'm not keeping his commandments, God says, son, daughter, you're lying. You're not experiencing those things in your life because you're not obeying my word. And whether it be me, Brother Dave, Brother Roger, or any of us, if the shoe fits, as the old saying goes, we have to wear it. I had to say a lot of old me studying this sermon out. This is a very searching text. John, as I say, he's very simple to the point. He's not trying to color it up. He's not trying to polish it up. He just comes out and says, you either love me or you don't in your daily life. Now, I believe, as it says in the book of Revelation, what did he command the church to do? Return unto your first love. A lot of Christians need to return to their first love to the Lord. What does that mean? When you first come to your first love with the Lord, you couldn't be in church enough. You couldn't pray enough. You couldn't have enough fellowship. You enjoyed going to revival meetings, going to different churches, hearing the things of God, listening to Christian music. But when you get cold and indifferent, you don't obey the Lord, those things become secondary in your life. All of a sudden, they're not important. Why, Jesus was telling this church, you need to come back to where you was in the beginning. Come back to your surrender your heart to me 100%. And I'll restore your fellowship. We can lose our fellowship with God. And we can be miserable. Satan tries to candy over everything and make everything appear to be Humpty Dumpty, as we say. We think we got some form of happiness. You can't be happy outside of the will of God. None of us can. And I've learned that by experience myself too. I'm speaking about things I've had to go through as a Christian in my life from the 20 years old until now. I've experienced a lot of things that I know by experience. When you get to heaven, there's no sorrow, no pain, no heartache, no tears. You know why? There's no sin there. What's our enemy today? Sin. When we disobey God, that's sin. To be disobedient to God is to act like God, that we're sovereign. I will do as I please. And I've did that in my life. And I suffered the consequences of it. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. The Word of God says what you sow, you will reap. Now, God forgives through repentance, but He don't always take away what we reap because of what we sow. You will reap what you sow, even though you've been forgiven. And sometimes that's an area that we need to emphasize a little more, that we need all of us to think about that. There's the consequences of sinning. I'm grateful that God's a forgiving God and a merciful God. We know Him by experience. Because a believer is the habit of life, obeys the Word of God. Now this is something that we need to, this is what John is teaching. That a believer, his everyday life will be one of obedience, basically. It doesn't mean he cannot be like David. David committed murder, committed adultery, but it wasn't his everyday pattern of life. We all can fall into Satan's traps. I have. And if you'll be honest, you have. But God deals with us as with sons and daughters. God dealt with me in my personal life and chastised me, brought His hand upon me. And by His mercy, He brought me back. We go through things, and that's one of the goals of Satan, is to bring down, make you lose your confidence in God, to discourage you, and to stop your testimony to glorify the Lord. And in verse 5 of that chapter, he says, but whoso keepeth his word. See the emphasis on obeying God and keeping his word. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know, genosko, by experience, we know that we are in him. How do we know we're in Christ? By the experience, by the things we go through. By keeping his word, it's evidenced by we know Him. Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Not having no confidence in the flesh. Oh, does it your heart cry out that I might know Him more and more and more in our daily life? Whoso or whosoever keepeth is present subjunctive, speaking of habitual continuous action. Whosoever keeps on continually keeping a watchful care for the word, his commandments, so as to guard it from being disobeyed. Are we so eager to obey God that we guard ourselves, make sure that we don't disobey God? I like what John Owen said one time. He said, most of us are concerned with sins that bother us. There are certain things that we don't want to do as sins. But we're not concerned about the sins that bother God. The little things, we think, well, God doesn't look at the little things. All sin is a transgression to God. But we worry about the ones that bothers our conscience. That's the ones we try to avoid. We need to realize that all sin is a transgression of God's law. In Him has the love of God been perfected, working out in the life of one obeying God's word. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. How is the love of God perfected in our life? Because it comes out in our life. My love to Brother Dave, my love to Sister Mabel, my love to Sister Susie, Bill, to each one of you, Roger, Gary, Jackie, David, Carl. We love one another. It's seen in our lives. God is perfecting as we are obeying the Lord. He's putting love in our hearts so we can love one another. And need that. We need that love. I love each one here dearly. And I pray for you. I try to pray often as I can. I bring you before the Lord, the throne of grace. Because I know I need it, I know you need it. We need to pray one for another. If love is being perfected in us, we will keep His commandments or precepts. the manifestation of the love of God in us. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. How do we know that we have the love of God? Because we're living through Christ. He's living in us. By our life in Christ and our love to God, we are a manifestation of God's love. By Christ living in us, each one of us, it's a manifestation of God's love. This is not natural love that we love one another. It's the love of God being worked in us to love one another. I know it takes a lot of love of God for Roger to put up with me. Patience. And he said amen. I'll say amen too. It does. And we need that. To be long-suffering, gentle, kind, long-suffering one to another. We need to be like that among ourselves as brothers and sisters. I might say the wrong thing, not meaning what I say or not realizing what I say, and offend someone. You don't mean to, but it can come out the wrong way sometimes. It takes a lot. He said, love covereth a multitude of sins. We need to remember that. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But the emphasis is, He first loved us. Notice verse 12, the same chapter. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. What's an evidence that God dwells in us? Because we love one another. That's a manifestation. God's love is perfected in us by obeying Him. That love is being perfected, and we love one another. See how it all fits together? So beautiful. And His love is perfected in us. Verse 16. And we know and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Obeying God and loving God and God loving us is all evidences that He's in us and that we love one another. And what does he say in verse 19? We love him because he first loved us. He's the root of everything. He's the first cause of our love. I love him in return. Why? Because he first loved me. The same is for you. And how did this love become to us? Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How did you get that love? It was given to us in regeneration. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. For what purpose? First, to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, the Lord says. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. And secondly, to love one another. Christ says, as I have loved you. Now, boy, that's a big command, that I'm to love Roger the way Christ loves Roger. That means no sacrifice should be too great for me to sacrifice in behalf of my brother, Roger. That's how we do love one another. That's to love like Christ. A love that doesn't cost anything is not much love. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. Now, how do we continue in Christ's love? It's very simple again. We're coming right back to the basics. In John 15:10, he says, if you keep my commandments. No, this is Jesus teaching, not Brother Rhodes. This is what the Master taught us. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you don't keep his commandments, you're not abiding in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our willing to obey God is by divine love, produced in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit, as I read earlier. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That love that was manifested is made evident in our lives through the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one is what? Love. And who are you to love first? Above all, above your wife, above your husband, above your friends, above your family, above your children. The Lord is to be first in a Christian's life above everyone. And when we don't put Him first, it's showing we don't love Him as we should. Who loved us and died and gave Himself for us. See, love is seen in action. As a fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our life, we have assurance of our salvation. God assures us of our salvation as we see love manifested, as we see joy, we enjoy the joy of the Lord as your strength, as we're long-suffering one toward another, we see gentleness in our life, goodness, as we have faith which worketh by love, and gives us assurance of our salvation. You can know that you passed from death into life because you what? You love the brethren and sisters in the Lord. We love one another. That's an evidence that you pass from death unto life, Brother Dave. It's an evidence. And then in verse 6 he says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Now that's a big, that verse is very searching. Every time I read that, it makes me fear and tremble. It makes me realize that I'm nothing. How much I need the Lord. If we say that we're abiding in Him, we should walk even as He walked. And remember, what did Paul say? That we should be conformed unto the image of Christ. God is conforming us to the image of Christ, that we can walk as Christ walked. What did He evidence? What was He? He was filled without measure with what? The Holy Spirit of God. His life was an example of the Beatitudes. His life was an example of the fruit of the Spirit. No one ever manifested joy, love, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience as our Lord did. And we are to follow His steps. He is our example, and we're to walk in His steps, and we are to follow Him and be more like Christ. And the Holy Spirit is using the trials we go through as we read the Word of God, we look in the mirror of God's Word, we're being conformed to that image. What image? The image of Christ, that Spirit of Christ within us. What a blessing we have as God's people to have the Lord indwelling us. The Holy Spirit indwelling us and conforming you and I to the image of Jesus Christ. Paul says you're living epistles, read and known of all men. The word abide means to abide, to remain, to sojourn, to tarry. It is used often of persons abiding in a home, in fellowship, communion, dependence, harmony, friendship. Here's a couple of verses that uses the word. Matthew 10:11 says, "And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is in it, is worthy, and there abide till you go thence." Abiding, a position. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." The same word is used, tarry, abide. "And he said unto them, Come and see." They came and saw where he dwell and abode with him, that's the same Greek word, abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Then John 1:40 goes along with that, "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother." To abide in the Lord Jesus, therefore, implies not only position, but relationship, fellowship, friendship, dependence, and communion. If we are abiding in Christ by keeping His commandments, that's how He said we abide in Him, we're having friendship with God. He's our friend. He's our friend. There's no friend like Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. We sing that hymn. We have fellowship with Jesus. We have communion with Jesus. And we depend upon Him for everything. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So do you wonder why when you get out of the will of God, you can't live spiritually? You can't do anything that you want to do spiritually? Why? Because without Christ and the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing spiritually. And that goes for all of us. And that's why sometimes the Word of God has no effect when people hear it. When you reject the message of God and you say, no, I'm going to still continue my course of life, then God stops teaching us until we repent of our attitude and turn to God. So the word means, refers to our fellowship and dependence upon God. And this brings us down to walk as becometh the gospel. Walk as becometh the gospel. In Philippians 1:20 it says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. That should be our attitude. Being obedient unto the gospel of Christ, striving to exalt Christ through the gospel as a church, as a congregation. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 that you walk worthy of God. Why? Because he's called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. I shouldn't walk trying to say this the correct way. If we're not glorifying God, we're glorifying someone else, the flesh. We should live for the Lord. Paul says you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are the Lord's. If you're a believer, you have no right to live according to the flesh. We're to live according to the will of God. And that's the battle we are going through. That you walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Think about it, each one of us. The privilege we have, we've been called unto the kingdom of his glory, out of darkness into his kingdom. And Satan wants to drag us out into the world to put a damper on our spirit, to discourage us. I heard a sermon a year ago about Satan puts tares. He puts tares in the with the wheat. You can meet someone in your life 20 years ago that you knew, maybe as a child, maybe as a friend, who 20 years later, Satan will bring that individual into your life to be a snare to your life. Satan is very cunning, very cunning. Never underestimate the enemy. Everything he brings into our lives is to destroy us. Everything he brings into our life is to rob us of our joy of the Lord. And everything he does is to hinder us from bringing glory to our Father and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Called to his kingdom. Your names are written in heaven before the foundation of the world. Paul said, how long has it been since you bowed down and gave thanks for your election of God? Are we grateful for what we have in Christ? That we're not out in the world, living in the world, on our way to hell, to live forever and ever in torment? We should be thankful for God. We should walk worthy of the Lord for such a high calling. He called us to be his sons and daughters. What a privilege we have. Who gave himself for us. Talking about Jesus Christ. 1 Titus 2:14. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. He's redeemed us from iniquity, from sin. And purified himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We should be showing forth good works. Unless we're keeping his commandments, we're not doing that. And in closing, I want you to think about the contrast. There's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We were the servants of sins, now we're the servants of righteousness. And one day there's coming a judgment day when God shall judge the world. And that's a serious thought. And remember, beloved, everything that the devil does, it's to hinder you and I from glorifying God. That's his whole purpose. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates him. We can't understand the evilness of sin. But look at the cross where Jesus suffered and died. And you see how Christ suffered. Why did he suffer such agony? Because of sin. Because of sin. May we pray. A gracious and loving Father, we all come short. But we pray, Lord, that we'll determine in our minds to be more faithful, to put away those things that hinder us, that besetting sin which so easily besets us, to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit by obeying the Word of God. And we all, Lord, need to examine ourselves and put away those things that hinder our walking in the Spirit. Bless the congregation and those that, all of us that need this message. I need it in my life. May you give us the grace, the love, and the strength to be obedient to thy word, that we may show forth our love to you, Lord, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. In the name of Christ, I do pray. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing? Did you get that, Dave?